Bold move. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks, next 4 weeks. We're going to be looking at and celebrating what God has done over the years, what He's doing right now, what we believe He wants to do in and through us moving forward. And so this message is going to be a little bit different. If this is your first time with us or a recent attender, we typically take a passage of the Bible and we dissect it. And then we apply it to our lives. This is going to be a little bit different in these next 4 weeks because we want to talk about what God has done, what God is doing, what God wants to do, what we believe He wants to do moving forward. And so today's message is going to be a little bit more about what He's done, how we've got to where we're at today. And if you're a first-time attender or a recent attender, I think this is good because it kind of lets you have an overview of who we are and what we're all about. Why we do what we do, and all that kind of stuff. How many of you guys are interested in like your family tree? You do some research to find out where you came from and like how far back you actually go or where you know what country you came from? Well, this little booklet right here, which you're more than welcome to borrow and read if you know Norwegian, because this is my family tree. I have a cousin lives out west, and he's done a lot of work on putting together our family tree, and it ends actually with my dad and his brothers. There he is, Trygve. And so, anyways, it's kind of a neat little thing to be able to look back and see all the different people who came before Ellen and Ingrid and Udrun and Daniel, there's a normal sounding name. Norwegian names can be a little bit strange. My dad's name was Trygve. I have a brother named Erling. He's a verb. Hagen's name is actually Hagen in Norwegian. It's actually a last name. So we really messed him up. Hagen Erling Bjerga. So anyways, poor kid. It's all right. He's getting over it. Anyways, so every person is part of a family tree, right? And that family tree goes on and on and on and on, and more people are part of that family tree. Mine, I think this goes back to the 1800s of my family tree. And even the church, there's a family tree. We call it the church, right? It's those who have placed their faith in Christ, become children of God. We have our own family tree. Mine's in here. The start of ours is in here, the Bible. And it's going to continue to grow. This family tree is going to continue to grow and grow. Jesus had done parables on how big the family tree is going to be. More and more people coming to faith in Christ. On and on and on until one day it'll stop. And that's the day that we all are in heaven together at the end of age. But that's what we're about. We're about expanding God's family tree, seeing more and more people come to faith in Christ. In Hebrews, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, the author not only details some of our family tree, the past family tree, but he also talks about the sacrifice that led to bold moves that they made in order to obey God, to do what God wanted them to do. Obedience causes people to do bold things, to step out in faith. And many of them did that. And again, we talked about this coming out of Nehemiah, that there was the Old Testament plan, getting things ready and prepared for Jesus. And now there's the New Testament plan, which we're a part of, which is getting the message out about who Jesus is. It's always about the message that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He didn't die for his sins. He died for my sin and for your sin in order for us to be forgiven of that, to be made right with God, to have God in our life today, to have God take us to heaven for eternity. We call it being saved from sin and hell. And so, in this legacy that we have, this family tree, we have men like Noah and Abraham. This is in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Moses, Gideon, Samson, David, Samuel. We know about Noah. He was building an ark. He was mocked, made fun of, harassed, persecuted, because he's building this ark. And everybody, why are you building an ark? Well, it's going to flood. They had no clue back then what a flood was. The earth had not seen rain. The way it was set up, there was no rain on the earth. He looked like a whack job. He looked like a guy who didn't know what he was doing, but he did it because he was obeying what God called him to do. He was part of God preserving his plan for one day, Jesus Christ coming to die. Abraham. We know a lot about Abraham. We've talked a lot about him. If you've been part of our church for any length of time, we talk a lot about him and the promises that God made to him. But he eventually had to leave his father and his mother. And God said, hey, go west. That's all God told him. Just start walking west. And I'll tell you when to start or stop. He eventually got to the present day Israel. But he didn't know that at the time. He just took a bold move to obey God and to take this step west, so that God's plan to save mankind could happen. Moses, he sacrificed everything. He was willing to sacrifice his life to go up against Pharaoh, to be able to say, hey, let God's people go. Pharaoh could have had him killed, but he was obedient. He did what God called him to do, and God used him to continue to preserve the plan of the nation of Israel being around in order to have Jesus Christ come and die on the cross for us. That's just a few of the men he talks about. He talks about a couple of women. Abraham's wife, Sarah, who at an old age, after she thought she could ever have a child, she believed God, and God gave her a child. She laughed about it initially, but she came around and she was able to have Isaac. Then you have Rahab, a non-Jew, actually one of the enemies. She lived in Jericho. And she sacrificed, was willing to sacrifice her own life. She hid the spies of Israel in her place in order for them to be able to kind of check the place out and get back and let Joshua know what was going on. But she sacrificed everything, and God used her to preserve. In fact, she's even in Jesus Christ's lineage, part of his family tree. The author goes on and talks about a bunch of unnamed people. Those who are tortured and mocked, whipped, imprisoned, stoned, sawn in two, martyred by the sword, many having just their basic needs met, some having to live in caves. People who sacrificed everything for God's plan in order to see one day Jesus Christ to come. But here's the crazy thing about that. It's that all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. So they didn't see Jesus Christ come, but they knew he was coming. They knew something down the road, a Messiah was coming. And having confessed or agreed with God that they were strangers and exiles on this earth, they knew because God had called them into relationship with him that their life was different. Their purpose for living was different. It wasn't about this world anymore. It was about helping people get to the other world, the next world, to in relationship with God in heaven one day. For those who say such things, make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. There's something else out there. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went, so they're not thinking about this country they're thinking about, it's not where they came from, because they could have gone back. They would have returned. Going on. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So they're not about this earth. They're not about their hometown. They're about heaven, their new hometown, where they want people to get to. And so they're being obedient. They didn't see Jesus. He hadn't come yet. But they knew God was working out his plan. They wanted to be a part of that. They weren't about earth. They were about heaven and what God wanted. They were faithfully obedient to that. And we know that God did what he promised, right? We know God the Son did come to earth. We call him Jesus Christ. We know that he sacrificed everything. He sacrificed heaven. He gave it all up. He didn't have to. We read it last week. He willingly gave it up. He volunteered himself to die on the cross. Before he died on the cross, he sacrificed his own reputation. Religious people were saying that he was demon-possessed, that he was working for Satan. God, his reputation. But he did what he came to do. He died on the cross. He sacrificed his life. He rose again. He did that so that we could have a relationship with God, that we could have salvation from our sin and hell, and so that we could get that information out to those in our lives who need it. We have the disciples who became the apostles. Every one of them was persecuted. Some were in prison, beaten to near death. And all but John were killed for sharing the gospel, for telling other people about who Jesus Christ was. And John, he lived until he died of old age, but he died exiled on the island of Patmos. Then you have the second generation. You have Timothy and Titus and the others that those guys trained up. They passed the message on to faithful people. Generation after faithful generation, through persecution from governments, persecution from other religions, persecution coming from religions that called themselves Christian religions. In the 1700s, true believers from Germany who were being persecuted by the three big Christian religions at the time, which was Catholicism and Lutheranism and Reformed, they got on a boat and they sailed to the New World, to America. Why? For religious freedom. Okay, but why? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to continue the movement of seeing people come to faith in Jesus. And so while they got here, they scraped together their living and their life, but they also built churches in a sense of seeing people come to faith and putting them in buildings. Grace Community Church in Fremont was one of those churches that in 1939 got its start. Over the next 50 years, the church has grown steadily. They've been sacrificing boldly. Things really kind of got rolling and growing when Pastor Kevin came in 1990s. We have a short video that we're going to look here, about 6 minutes actually, so not quite short, but 6 minute video of Pastor Kevin is talking with Alan Cleveland. And Alan is no longer an elder, but for years he's been an elder at our church and has seen the church go through a lot of bold moves and building projects and people coming to faith in Christ and all that kind of stuff. So they're going to have a little bit of an interchange here, a little interview. And so let's go ahead and watch that at this time. You can see the full, as you see there, you can see the full video on YouTube. Go ahead and show that.
Well, this is Alan Cleveland, good friend of mine, been on our leadership board for years, no longer, but for many years through a lot of our projects. And when I came, this is the first spot I was at. But I know Alan, he became a believer when he was a teenager, but actually started attending Grace when it was on Birdseye and Collingwood when he was a young man. And then in the 70s, even though the church there was maybe around 250 people, you guys took this big step of buying 17 acres here on Smith Road.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah. Well, I remember my wife, Sue, and I were teaching a Sunday school class, and we decided that we needed to bring the kids out to this area to show them what we were going to do. So the bus driver, I think it was Jim Soule at the time, had came out and laid 2x6s through this muddy field.
From Smith Road to, here.
Smith Road to here. And we lined all the kids up on the 2x4 so they didn't fall in the mud. And we said, we are going to build a church here. And we did.
As our church continued to grow, I know you were on the board at this time. We were about 600. I think we averaged 602 people. Yeah. The year we decided we're going to build a 1,000-seat auditorium right here.
And we were never going to fill it, as far as I was concerned.
It was kind of a long shot because, you know, we're 600,
yeah,
saying we're going to build a 1,000-seat auditorium. We really had to think about that. We were going over plans about adding a balcony.
Yes.
And it wasn't cost-efficient. And we finally said, we should just do this. That was a huge step for our church.
There's a friend of mine and yours, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he will remember this if he sees this video. And he said, oh, ye of little faith.
That's right. That's right. And we came into this space. Of course, it looked a lot different then. Everything was white. We sort of modeled it after our other service. But one of our big selling points is, hey, we're going to build this new church and be in one service, because we were in multiple services.
Yep.
But then that didn't last all that long.
We got a little elbow room now? No? Already no? Wait a There's not as much extra room in here as we thought, is there? This only seats 1,000. I guess we should have went bigger. I don't know. But anyway, has God blessed us or what?
And at this point, as our church continued to grow, we started thinking, you know, hey, maybe we ought to be looking harder at campuses and stuff. That's when we started thinking, hey, we're looking at Tiffin. We had also just the people at Northwood. That was a church that was down to about a dozen people. They
it's
gave
a lot
us
like
their
the
building.
Rock concerts used
we
to go
rehired
to
Harold to come in and take over that. That kind of paused us on Tiffin for a little while. Then we got back on to our Tiffin idea because we knew we had a couple hundred people coming from Tiffin, which seemed a little unusual. And then we started to do that. That kind of brings us all the way around back to the through our auditorium here, back onto our platform. But Alan, I just kind of wanted to get your perspective on, you've been here through a lot of building campaigns. You've been here through a lot of growth in our church. You've been on the leadership side for most of those years. And just thinking, what's your perspective on grace and what we think God is calling us to do now with not only getting Sandusky launched, but also kind of jumping this hurdle that we have right now in Tiffin with the lack of seating? Just any thoughts in general?
Well, my first thought is when I seen the massive growth that Tiffin has had from the get-go, you know, we didn't...
Started with a boom.
It just started and it just bloomed. And I just have a heart burden to say they need a large auditorium.
Yeah.
And they probably need classrooms and all of that. And I just would, I guess, beg the people, the parishioners of this church, that it's time to grow.
Yeah.
And it's time to spread your wings. It's time to build.
Yeah.
And don't be of little faith.
Yeah.
See what God has done in Fremont, Ohio.
Would you would have imagined that, you know, this would have happened? You know, now we're a church in 3 locations, soon to be 4. We run on a good Sunday 3,000 people in the seats. What's your thoughts about that? Would you have ever guessed that? I mean, how did you look, you know?
Kevin, I'm the person that had little faith. I'm the person that had little faith. I didn't think
you're
we'd ever fill this.
Oh, yeah, you.
I didn't think we'd ever fill this. More or less build a building like this when we were at Collingwood.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord took a hold of us on Collingwood and gave us the insight that we needed to be a light in the community. And we just need to be thankful for that, need to bless Him for that. And I think personally in Tiffin or even in Northwood, okay, if we build a building, they're going to come. Yeah.
It seems to be that way, that God has allowed us to impact people and have an effective ministry. And if we have the faith to take the step, God's always there to bless that. You can't ever outgive God.
No.
And God's been good to us.
Yes, He has.
I appreciate your ministry to our church through the years.
I'm not sure why they always throw me in videos. That was me, by the way. Some of you guys are probably thinking, who in the world was that? Such a round head. Yeah. Anyways. So as Pastor Kevin was saying, kind of transitioning up here, there was 14 people from the church that was here called Trinity Grace Brethren, which is a sister church to our same fellowship. In fact, I think we have some of those 14 in here. Where's Pat at? There's Pat. Pat, put your hand up a little higher. So when there's Pat. We had some in the 9 o'clock. I know Greg Walters is sick. What? Kip. There's Kip. Yeah, well, there. Okay. Kip's back. By the way, he broke his hip. And Kip broke his hip. And so he's doing good. He's back. Thank you. And he said he wanted to make sure everybody knew he appreciated everyone's prayers for him. So thank you for you guys who are doing that. Good to see him back. And again, as Kevin said, I've been on staff, which you so sadly saw my face back when we used to wear suits. And but I was on staff down there, and so then Pastor Kevin called out to Colorado and said, "Hey, don't know what you guys got going, but he invited Kim and me to come back and we launched our Northwood campus on March 19th, 2017. So there was 14 people here, 20 people came up from Fremont, and so together with 34 people, we launched this church. The difference, like Tiffin had about 225 on their launch team. They're looking to have a launch team of 1 to 200 people for Sandusky. We had 34. So we did it. And so Tiffin hadn't launched yet, a couple of years out still, but they had some money saved up. And so what they did is they took some of that money, because we were kind of the unexpected child. And so they took some money from there, and they helped us get started. So there was a bunch of painting that had to go on, as you can see there. And we went into the quad and took down those the massive curtains, which when they came down, they were metal, and they hit the wall, they scraped the wall, so now I had to fix the wall, which felt bad. But anyways, new soundboard, new computers, the auditorium carpet they were able to put. I remember this conversation that we had. It's actually a year into it, and Pastor Kevin's like, what can we do to help you guys up there? And I'm like, well, man, if there's a way to get rid of the green carpeting, let's go to the next. Yeah, you can't. That doesn't even look like that. That's not green. You should see how green that the. Oh, that's actually the soundboard. Yeah, you can kind of see the green back there in the. Yeah, it was green. Really green. And so, anyways, we can get rid of the green carpeting and the pews. So they took Tiffin money, and they were able to give us this carpeting and these chairs. And so they did a lot to help us get going. And so since our launch, we've continued to work hard to reach people for Christ, and then make our campus a place where people can come and connect in and have their, met, of course, but also relational needs and physical needs. And so over the years, we've had to continue to make adjustments and improvements in this building because it was getting used. It was, I wouldn't say abused, but it was getting used. A lot of people were coming in that hadn't been there before. And so we did a first capital campaign in 2018, 3 years. Our goal was to replace the roof. I didn't want Pat and Greg up on that roof anymore because they would go up and repair all the roofing tiles that would come off. At 40-mile, 50-mile-an-hour winds, those shingles would come off pretty easily, and those guys would go up and fix it, and didn't want that anymore. And so we wanted to replace the roof, and with God's goodness through our church family, a church that wasn't even 100 people at the time, we were able to raise the money to put a metal roof on. That way, nobody has to worry about, now we just have to worry about the water coming down so fast it doesn't even go into the gutters, but we'll get that worked out. We had two HVAC units that needed to be replaced. We needed to resurface the parking lot, and then we also, along with Fremont, wanted to assist and get Tiffin off the ground. And we were able to accomplish all four of those goals as they came up. We also had a small flood, which was a blessing because it was a flood that came out of the women's bathroom, one of the toilets decided to start spraying. And we didn't have much water, which is great, but the insurance company said, well, we're going to cover all the rest of the carpeting. So all the carpeting out into the quad and down that little hallway, they replaced. And so the place was looking good, right? But as I mentioned, just because, we're not here to just make the building look good, right? It's not our purpose. The purpose is use the building as a tool to reach people. And so during those 3 years, there was some impact. There was 53 people who indicated salvation. We grew from about 77 to 116 on an average. Again, we are a church of, closer to 200, but people don't come all the time, so then it's just kind of the average. Then we were able to hire a full-time music director. What was happening before was Fremont would hire somebody, and we would pay half of them, and they would come up here and do the Sunday service, and then go back down to Fremont and do the ministry down there. And so, but it was getting kind of difficult because we were growing, and we wanted our music person who can kind of just focus in on here. And again, I'm the kind of person that I don't want to grow or hire because we have people. I want to hire so we can have people. Does that make sense? I want to hire for growth, not because we've grown. And so because God had been faithful and our church family had been giving faithfully, we were able to hire David Fackler. David and Sarah came up, and they spent about a year with us. Then they had a baby and decided to go back down to family, because anytime you have babies, you want to go down to the family. So then we hired somebody who wouldn't leave once they had a baby, and we hired Logan, and which is a whole funny conversation where finally Logan's like, well, are you desperate enough to hire me? And he was out here helping, you know, putting the stonework on there. Anyway, so we hired him, which is awesome. So he stuck with us for a year. He only worked so long with me. Well, then God continued to work through all three campuses. We went through that strange time, right, with COVID. And even though COVID was a mess and people were, you know, it was just a terrible time in our country, we came out of that healthy. We came out of that growing. We do a thing called a prayer and care ministry here at the church, and some of you guys, hopefully all of you guys, got a phone call this week from somebody from our church reminding you about the next 4 weeks. And I'm hearing no's. So if you're at a prayer and care ministry, you need to be making phone calls like we asked you to do. Anyways, the point there is we have men who are members and women who are members who are praying for people in our church. And then they're, when they don't see somebody for a couple of weeks, they reach out and say, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, hope you're doing okay, that type of thing. Again, some people say, that's an awkward ministry. I get it's an awkward ministry, but it's how we stay connected. And so we were doing that during that 6 weeks that we were off, making sure our people were connected. So when we opened the doors again, people showed up, and we continued to grow during that. All three campuses continued to grow. In fact, we had to address some issues. Every campus was growing, so our children's ministries were growing. We needed more leaders in our churches. We needed to train up leaders. And then we had another bold move and said, hey, let's in 3 years put the money together to launch a new campus. And they chose to go up to Sandusky. And so we launched Everyone on Three capital campaign. Three campuses focused on three things. It's going to be a kids space. We wanted to train 20 young leaders. And we wanted to launch this new campus. Fremont, they ended up redoing their Grace Kids gym area. And if you've never been down there, I would take a run down there. Some of us guys will be down there tonight for Fight Club kickoff, and so you can see it down there. But this, they've redid it. It looks like an underwater type of theme. They got a ship in there and a slide from the second story down. It's pretty cool. Tiffin put in an indoor play area, and they're focused on having the community come and use that, having church families inviting their friends and family to be a part of that. So hopefully they'll feel more connected and willing to come to church and hear more about who Jesus Christ is. Here in Northwood, because God was working within our church family, we were able to do a kids area. We actually updated the rooms we just tore out. Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, right? So we had those two rooms, and we redid the nursery, but then we kept on growing, so we expanded that and went into the quad, and we gave up our fellowship hall to for our Grace Kids to be in there. We installed the outside play area and brought an outside play area set up and put it into inside the church so our church families can invite their friends and family who don't know the Lord to for play dates. And if it's nice out, be out there. If it's not so nice out, they can come inside. We install the walking tracks so the parents have something to do while the kids are playing. We put three baseball. And if you come on a nice day, you see kids from the area, from the community, from the neighborhood coming over, shooting baskets. We want people to feel comfortable coming on our property, feeling welcome to come on our property, so that if we don't invite them, then if they have a spiritual need or something going on in their lives, like, hey, maybe that church can help me out, and they'd be willing to come over. We trained five leaders. We had Logan Wolf as part of that. Chase Dickerson was part of that. Jason Wells and Josiah Pate. Tim Pate, Josiah's brother. So during those period of time, we had five different, call younger leaders, because that's what they are. They're younger and they're leaders. And we're making plans, Lord willing. Everything's in the works for launching the Sandusky campus late summer, sometime in September. So be looking for that as well. The cool thing is that the elders were like, hey, feel free to take some of that money and use it for other issues around the building, things that you have to be doing. So we update the restrooms. We have the best-looking restrooms in the Toledo area, probably within the country. That's all I'm saying. We've had numerous people tell us, you guys have the nicest-looking bathrooms. I say, yeah, we try to get people out of there for the service, but most of them just want to stay, hang out in the bathroom, you know. We were able to update the lobby, which is what the last thing we just did. We were able to update more here, the auditorium and the monitors, and extend the platform a little bit. And because of everyone on three, we were able to get a new sound system, which was, I think, the last, very last thing we wanted to do with EO3 money was to be able to get a sound system. And the reason why we could do that is because the sound system that Jeremy found for us, he got it a deal. And so it's allowing us to do that. So I don't think we'll have it by Easter, but certainly sometime after we'll have a whole new sound system and in the building, which will help with everything. Here's a huge praise God thing. I asked for a report. How did we do on our EO3 giving? The amount of money that came in was 91% of what was pledged. Almost 100% of the money pledged, which, by the way, what came in met our goal that we were looking at. Of course, we go over that. But 91% pledge came in. That's, again, you guys, that's unusual. If you've been a part of church any length of time and done capital campaigns, you don't see 91%, but our church has been very faithful with that. And again, the purpose of all this is not to have a beautiful-looking building. I mean, we want that. We want people to walk in and go, wow, these people care about things. But there's an impact. And so during that three-year capital campaign, we saw 98 people indicate salvation. We grew from 116 to 197 on an average Sunday. Again, we're about a church of about 300. But we have about 197, because again, not everybody comes every Sunday. And then our Grace kids, in just the last year, we've grown from 20 kids to 30 kids on the average. And so we've had weeks that are up into the 30s and even into the 40s. So God's worked through the people of each of the campuses, Fremont, Tiffin, and ours. God continues to bless by seeing people indicate salvation, people's lives who are being changed, which means that our growth in attendance continues to go up. So we need to plan now for future growth. And so each campus is making a bold move. They're making a bold move, one, by the sum of money, but also what it is that they're attempting to do. And so Fremont, they're going to try to raise at least $2.5 million to finish the launch at Sandusky, to fit that out with all the tools and things that they need, including staff for that. Tiffin, they're going to shoot for $5 million in order to launch or get their auditorium going. And so here's our bold move. We need to build a 500 to 600 seat auditorium office complex. That this is just a kind of an idea. This is not actual. But a 500 to 600 seat auditorium, you could double that. You get 1,000 to 1,200. We needed some office space once we do that because of what we're going to be doing in here. So we need some office space. We're going to need some, you know, bathrooms that go in there, and we're going to need classrooms and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just calling it an auditorium office complex. Now, why are we worried about that now? Because we don't want to be caught in a situation that Tiffin's in. So when Tiffin launched, they launched with about 220, 225 people as a launch team. But the first Sunday, the first few Sundays that they had 1,000 people in their services. Now, some of those were from Fremont, kind of checking things out, helping them get launched and get going. But so then they kind of backed down to, I don't know, probably around 700s. But now they've grown to back to they're like over 900 on the average. They're hitting 1,000 all the time. And they just don't have room. And so because it grew so fast, again, nobody expected that. It was so big from the beginning. Now they're kind of behind the eight ball, and they're having to put things together to build an auditorium. They have people who are showing up, who walk in, they look around for a seat, they can't find one, so they leave. Now, let's say those are people who don't know Christ. Will they come back? I don't know. In fact, Zach was telling me he's going to his personal friends who are at the church, asking them to go to the 11:30 service. I know 11:30 is late in the morning. I get it. I preached down there a few weeks ago, and that was rough. At 11:30, by the time I get up, it's noon, I'm thinking about lunch. Everybody else, I'm sure, is thinking about lunch. But he's asking them, hey, will you sacrifice and go to the 11:30 so we have room at the 8:30 and the 10 o'clock for people? So we have the opportunity to not be stuck in that situation. We have the opportunity to plan. And so that's what we want to do. So let me just kind of give you some looking down the road type of numbers here. Now, if we use 143% growth, that's the In 2017, I was given a number of 81 was our average attendance in 2017, at the end of 2017. So from 2017 to this past year, we grew from 81 on the average to 197 on the average. That's 143% growth. If we do another 7 years of 143% growth, that means there's going to be 480 people average attending our church. It means we'll be a church of, you know, probably 600 to 700 people. Because again, average attendance doesn't mean that's how many people you have in your church. You always have more people in your church than actually show up on a Sunday. Let's say we use the 3 year 70% growth. So we've seen a 70% growth over the last 3 years. So from 2025 to 2028, a 70% growth means we'll have 335 people averaging in two services. If we then go 29 to 32, we're already thinking 2032. Just like, yikes. Anyways, that'll be 570 people. Now, what if we use the five times growth? So our launch team was 34, and we have 197. That's basically five times growth, a little bit more. Then in 7 years, we'll have nearly 1,000 people in our church. Now, whether it's 480, whether it's 570, whether it's 1,000, whether it's somewhere in between there, there's going to be growth. Why? Well, because we believe we're doing what God's called us to do. He has shown us that there's going to be growth. There's going to be people who are coming to faith in Christ. There's going to be other people coming in, moving into the area who already know the Lord and want to be a part of a church who are reaching people for Christ. And so we have to plan for growth. We hire for growth, not because of growth. And so we need to plan for growth, not because of growth. And so, some near future growth plans. Because of EO3, that some of that money in there has allowed us to hire an architect. And so he's working on that. It's a guy out of Columbus. And he does a lot of work with churches our size that are growing, and so we're going to get some good ideas from him, and so we've talked with him already. So that's in the works, and we'll be getting you stuff as we get it. Then step one, we've already started, which is expand the lobby. So we took the sacrificial rooms, and we took them out. The guys were here like for 2 hours taking out those exterior walls, which is awesome. So we're going to expand the lobby. In the process, the goal is that by Easter, that'll be usable. I won't say it's finished by Easter, but it'll be usable. Give us a little more elbow room as we're walking around. Step two is then to expand the lobby. Now, this money, we got approval that we have some money in savings. And so I talked to the pastors, Kevin and Tim, who are elders as well. And so I'm just like, well, I thought that was kind of like you hang on that for a rainy day. And Pastor Tim looked at me and goes, today's your rainy day. So they want us to use that money for these things and leave Bold Move for the auditorium. And we've got the money because God's blessed us through our giving, and so it's all good. So to remove both walls, which would mean Josiah loses his office, but we'll figure out what we need to do with him. He's good. He's flexible. But to move that out. So right now, our current seating is 172 people, 344 in two services. That's jam-packed, every seat full. Most churches will decide whether to go to a new service or not once they're 80% full, which would be 138 or 267. I think it's lower than that, personally, because especially coming out of COVID. In an auditorium like ours, I think it's lower than that. I think we're at 60 or 70% full, then people are going to be kind of like, this is getting a little tight, okay? If you remove both walls, that'll increase each service by 140 people, which means 312 in a service, so 624 and 2. 80% would be 250 or 500, but again, I think it's lower than that, that people start feeling a little jammed up. So, some people have asked about what about the nursery? We're having kids like crazy around here. So just so you know, I'm aware of that. I get it, and we've got a plan. The plan is there. It's just a matter of when we're going to do it. But again, that'll be within our own budget to make that happen. So, but it's exciting, right? It's exciting to think about what could happen, what God could be doing in our church. Again, it's us, right? We who call Grace their church, it's us that God's going to work in and through. So here's the bold move. Now, again, we don't usually talk a lot about money. So if this is the first time with this, so, wow, these guys are talking a lot about money. It's just kind of setting the stage, all right? So here's our bold move. Over the next 4 years, so it's a four-year capital campaign, 208 weeks, one, we keep our weekly giving up. One of the things that elders were concerned about our budget last year, that we were, there's a lot of red in our budget. Now, the giving was up enough that we were able to cover all that, which is great. But they're like, hey, you need to make sure your church family is giving. And so I challenged our church family at the end of December, and we've seen, thank the Lord, that we're $1,000 a week over what we need. And so that, let's just keep doing that. Let's just keep on giving as God's been blessing, and let's do what God's called us to do with the current budget we have. Again, a lot of that is staff, because we want to be able to have staff so we can continue to grow. But then there's other things. When you have more children, there's more children's curriculum, which means there's more cost. You know, things get used a lot more, so you have to replace more. Anyways, then we want to raise $750,000 for this new auditorium, office complex type of thing, which would be probably off to the east here. People always say, well, $750,000, that's a lot of money, but I know construction costs. I get it. Construction costs are high. Who knows? And so we're shooting for $750,000. I'm going to show you what a million looks like here in a second. I mean, we go for a million. I'm game, right? So here's the breakdown. If we just used 116 members of our church over and above their weekly giving, they would need to increase by $32 a person. Okay, so if it's a husband and wife team, that's how much? 64, very good, nice. I didn't know, that's why I'm asking. If we use the average weekly attendance of 197 people, that would be $18 per person. Now, but that number includes kids, so you have to kind of, you know, factor that in. And then if we just use members and regular attenders, which is all the people who would call this church or their church, which again is about 300, maybe a little bit more, it's kind of hard to tell because you see a person once or twice a year, and you're like, is that person? It's interesting. So this is just a side note. So people who do that, but they say they're part of our church, when they have a need, they still want to be served, right? And they should, because they're part of our church family. But it's just, you know, again, so it's just a kind of instrument. You can have a church with 300 plus and only have a 200 there on a particular Sunday. But that would be $12 a person. A million. Again, I'm here for you guys. We can work this thing through. If we want to shoot for a million, this is what it looks like. It's, again, just 116 members. It's $42 per person, which would be doubled. 84, very nice. Average weekly attendance of 197 would be $24 per person. Again, includes children. And then members or regular attenders, it would be $16 a person per week. So that's how we would get to those numbers. And it's just up to us to, you know, decide, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you want us as a family to do, as an individual to do? Now, some of you guys are saying, hey, I looked at the budget or the brochure, and the brochure has like a, looks like a storefront. What's that under for? Well, we put that in there because of this. If God wants us to think out of the box, and he wants us to use this as leverage to buy something that might be more effective, we're willing to do that. There was a question that was asked. I was reading a book, and the guy was helping revitalize churches. And the question that he always asked the leadership is, what's one thing that you would not change, even if it meant reaching more people for Christ? And so, you know, that'd be a great question for us. Would we be willing to give up this property if we've got another property that better reached people for Christ? You know, it's that kind of stuff. You know, and that would say a lot. A lot of us have put a lot of time in this building. So, anyways, that's what that's there for, to help us think out of the box. What does God want to do? So we call this capital campaign bold move because it's a bold move. Each of us is raising, I think, three times more or whatever than from whatever their previous capital campaigns were. But our goal, our desire is to reach more people for Christ. Yes, the building is a tool. We have processes. We have programs, and we have property. All three of those together help us reach people. It's about the people. It's reaching people for Christ, and we use all those things together to do that. So what do you need to be doing this week? Well, grab a brochure. They're out here as you leave out the west door. There's also magnets. I didn't tell you the 9 o'clock service, but there's magnets. You can put it up somewhere. One per family. Magnets take more than one per family. And then pray. First of all, as you're praying, praise God for his goodness. Because, man, he's been doing awesome stuff through Grace Community Church, all the campuses, but specifically here over the last 7, soon to be 8 years. Our 8-year anniversary will be next week. And then ask God to clarify your bold move. What is it that God, you believe God's calling you to do as it pertains to your whatever pledge that you give? And here's what I would encourage you to do. Take your budget. Some of you guys don't know what that is. Ask somebody else. But grab your budget. And if you're married, grab your spouse. And if you have a family, grab your kids. And look at your budget and just ask the question, God, what's priority and what's not? And then from that, say, God, what is it that you would want from us? What would you like us to give? And then we're going to leave that in God's hands. We're going to do a pledge. I think it's week 4. We're going to ask you to write that pledge down for the next 4 weeks. What are you committing to? But that's between you and the Lord. Yeah, we'd love to see $750,000. Love to see $1 million. But here's what I know. Whatever God does in and through our church, it's going to be what God wants to do in and through our church. And God will provide. You know, the pledges for EO3, some of that money, the 91%, didn't come from our church family. It came from outside our church, people hearing what we were doing and wanted to give towards that. God will always provide. And like, as people constantly tell me, Harold, man, don't worry. Lord knows. Lord knows. And so I'm confident that whatever we all pledge to do, that God's going to be in that. And God's going to meet our needs, and God's going to direct us on how to reach people for Christ, not just in the next 4 years, but moving forward. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just all that you've done in our church. Just what I've covered is such a small bit of what you've been doing. The stories of people in those numbers, the 98 people who've indicated salvation, the stories behind that, how you worked in their lives to get them to the point of them giving their life to you, the interaction that they had with people in our church family in order to make that happen, the sacrifices that our church family has made in order for them to have a building that they could come to. It's all because of you, all because of your work in our lives. So Lord, I pray that you'd just continue to do your good work and help us to be faithful and obedient and do what it is we believe you've called us to do. And we know that you will do what you've called us to do, and we will praise you for doing it. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for